You want to start with the process that has been for the last little while, and Vegas holding a lot of leverage in the last week or two?
Well, certainly, once the season ended, I think for everybody, your focus has turned to the next course of business, and that was the expansion draft. And it was a very interesting process. Talking to general managers who had been through the other expansion processes said this one was somewhat different. Obviously, the rules of expansion protection were very different than in the past. And again, it was a very painstaking, time-consuming process. But in the end, happy with the eventual result.
Before we get to the specifics, how do you think you and your management group handled it?
Well, once the season ended, I went over to the U18 World Championships from a scouting perspective for obviously this event, the draft, the amateur draft, and I had the opportunity to speak with Toby several times over there, and lay out the process of what could or could not happen in the expansion draft. So really, this all really hinged on Toby's decision and what what he felt was to do, and he was totally within his own right if he had chosen not to not to waive the no move, and we had something that we had negotiated back in the day, but this organization owes a debt of gratitude to Toby for taking that stance on his own, that he wanted to try to keep this team together, not have to make some trades or certainly not have to have us pay even more of a price to try to keep the group together. So throughout the process, talked with the amateur, staff about what was on the table as far as the direction that we thought it might be heading to cut a deal. And in the end, we found a way to make it work.
Was there some incentive toward Toby?
No, there's really nothing you could do. It was something on its own free will. There was actual process that had to happen. Like, you had to submit a form. Actually, he couldn't even sign it for 48 hours. He had to contemplate it. Then the form comes back either yes or no. So, it's a process, obviously, that, not many players within the league, given the opportunity contemplated, but we're very fortunate that Toby did.
Once Toby agreed to that, did you immediately turn your attention to having to work out a deal with Vegas?
Well, there's lots of conversations that went on. There was probably even more than obviously even can come to the surface at this point in time, or probably will ever come to the surface. And when you start talking deals and potentials and different things like that, especially when you're dealing with a team like Vegas that had somewhat of a, I don't want to say blank canvas, but was going to have an opportunity to make choices and different selections. So we actually tried to make the deal bigger, I think, is what for a long period of time were the conversations between Vegas and ourselves. And they're just, as it got closer and closer, you could see that the path of making it bigger wasn't going to be there. So we shifted to focusing on protection of our group as it is.
Did you feel like it wasn't too painful of a situation to have moved
down? Well, you never want to minimize it. Like, it's in this game, you have a certain amount of assets that you're afforded. You're afforded 7 picks every year to try to do something with. You don't know where you're going to finish. Last year we had the great fortune of moving up to number 2. This year we even dropped the pick. So it's once you make the decision to pay the price of what you think you're going to do and did, then if you can feel good about that, and we did. We felt like it was a well thought out process of what was at risk for us versus what we were going to have to do moving forward.
When Toby waves, though, Kevin, is at that point no deal is in place, and he's for all intents and purposes was exposed for a bit there, without protection until a deal was made?
Very much so. Again, when we talked, when they made their final determination, the conversation between, Toby's agent and myself, like, they knew they were, walking the tightrope without a safety net type thing. And I kind of talked to them and told them I'll do my very best within reason. They weren't going to, hold me to something that was going to jeopardize the franchise, and I wasn't going to do something that was going to jeopardize the franchise moving forward. But we grinded, the long period of time, and ultimately never came to a final deal until, you know, very late in the process.
Was your deal with Vegas that they wouldn't take Toby? Were there other players involved, or was it specifically that they would take
over? It got more complicated at the end. The impetus was finding a way to, you know, not have to go 4-4 and 1 in the protection scheme of things, and morphed into trying to keep the current NHL assets that we have away from being in play. So that's why the deal, you know, really turned into futures, and obviously a player that was going to become an unrestricted free agent in a couple of days, and you know, I'm not sure where that'll stand, you know, moving forward.
How would you care? Maybe you've answered this already, but how do you characterize then that price you paid then?
I don't know if you can truly characterize it, as you see many things unfolding in front of you yesterday when the draft process was being unveiled, you know, by everybody. You see different levels of picks, you see different levels. Every team had their own situations, ranging from, you know, some very, very difficult, decisions to make and large asset prices, to teams saying, hey, you know what, call me when it's over, because we know we're going to lose a player, and we're just, you know, we're going to, understand that and just move on. So I think it really ranged from team to team to team, and it was very difficult to really say, well, you know, they gave this, so we should give that, because throughout the whole process, you were, you know, really left to speculate as to what was being done or not being done. Even when the list came out, you then had to circle back with Vegas to try and figure out, okay, do you have a deal in place with this person to try and see if he's available maybe to try and trade. So that's when you truly, you know, began to understand, you know, the magnitude of the deals that they made behind the scenes.
When you say that it was late in the process, Kevin, is it fair? Can you maybe be a little more specific? I mean, at what point was there still a fear that you might be losing a key left-handed event?
Okay, what day is it today? It's like, yesterday, the day before yesterday, you know, when, you know, throughout the process of the day, and again, lots of conversations, and there was ample times I could have made a deal. Like, it wasn't like there was other, you know, this was the only deal that was on the table. There was, you know, many, many deals that, if I wanted to, you know, maybe sleep a little easier for a few more days earlier, I could have cut the deal. But in the end, I was very, very thankful that we stuck in there and hung in there to get it to the point that we did.
Given the nature of this draft, where what a lot of people are saying is that it's very wide open, there's going to be a lot of different draft boards out there.
Yeah.
Do you have hope that maybe you can get a player similar to what you would have got at 13 at 20?
Well, you know, when you're drafting at 13, you're kind of, I don't want to say, you know, you're kind of in at the mercy of obviously a lot of things that are in front of you, but the farther you go from, you know, the top picks, the more variability there becomes, because, you know, again, all it takes is one player or one team to draft someone that you had in the second round, you know, in the teens, and then all of a sudden everything starts to change. So, and it does happen where, you know, there'll be someone on our list that, we'll have at 30 that some team will draft at, you know, 10. And, you know, then you start sitting there, okay, you know, like, these things are going to start to unfold. So, where we're currently sitting, you know, I don't know. I've had a couple of conversations with, different GMs about, you know, maybe moving up if a guy slides. You know, you focus on a group of people around 13 that you think might be there. So you may look at saying, well, you know, is there an opportunity to move up? But then conversely, at 24, when you do the due diligence, which, you know, we've been doing since we ultimately kind of organizationally decided to go in that direction, now you're looking at another group of players to say, well, you know what, maybe we can slide back even a little more, pick up another asset and get someone that we think is good. The X factors in all these things are it truly begins to get into more of a development phase. The lower you start drafting, it is more of a development type of situation and a projection type of situation. So, you're not counting on the guy to definitely step into your lineup, you know, tomorrow. So you might, you know, see, well, you know what, let's go out on a limb on this guy's projection. Even though it might take a year longer or something, we might get a better player, down the line.
to follow that up, I mean, you had said right along to, in relation to what Ted had asked you, it's really subjective after maybe number five on what your organization thinks. And obviously you have the confidence and feeling that with your group and the scouting staff that you have, that you can find a real good pick at 24 if you stay there.
Well, you know, again, I think when we drafted Roslovic at 25, I think it was. And that was a year where we had, you know, two picks. And we've drafted four players in the first round in the prior 2 years. So, you deal with what, you know, you kind of dealt with here, and the opportunity for us to find a good player at 24 is certainly there. There's not a worry about that. The question, you know, when you get to that point, do you try to be a little more, you know, position specific, or do you try to be a little bit more best player? I think that unless the spread is very, very narrow between, between the players, you know, I still think you have to go, you know, for the best player when you're drafting, in the first round.
And just back to the process for yesterday, the way it unfolded for you, was it perfect for your organization or near perfect in the fact that, as you mentioned, you lose one player that was UFA July 1st anyway?
Well, I think if you would have designed it, you know, coming in for us to say that we could keep, you know, the group that we have intact, we suffered so many injuries last year. You know, there's several players within our group that, probably didn't get the opportunity to play as many games as they would have liked, and we would have liked to see, you know, what their full potential is. So we've been, you know, drafting and developing, you know, for since we moved the franchise here. We feel we've, you know, started to build a good stable of prospects. We've got a lot of players that we've drafted that are now in the lineup. We want to take it to the next step, and when you don't have to subtract to try to keep moving forward, you know, ultimately, did I think that was going to be the end result? No, I didn't. We thought we were going to be fully prepared to lose someone, but in the end, we were able to find a way, using future assets to keep everyone together.
Make that move forward, as you suggested, Kevin, a big part of it would be maybe in the goaltending position. On top of everything else you've got going on, how's that search going?
Well, again, I guess I'll just revert back to, you know, what I said before. We'll continue to look at all the options that are available to us and are realistic for us. So we have been doing that. We've been very diligent in our work, but that's the time of the year. It is, you are very diligent in a lot of different positions, whether it's defense, because at one point in time, it was looking like we might lose Toby, and you're preparing for something like that as well. So goaltending is something that, you know, we're going to continue to have a strong focus on.
Prior to the expansion draft, it really tied your hands, though, in the ability to acquire. Is it, now that we're past that date, it's certainly a situation you can look at a little more closely?
So it's interesting because, the way the expansion rules were made, the different deals that might have been there because of its expansion and maybe protection and trying to hide or, bury a player in the expansion process, those deals aren't there anymore. That pressure's gone. So, you know, there's different, opportunities that might exist, because of that. But, with Vegas having the ability to draft up to seven goalies, there was, obviously a lot of control behind the scenes that they had really over the entire process. There was lots of conversations that happened about people that never even got drafted, So, it will be something as you get your house in order that you can sit back and really digest and say, wow, that was an interesting experience. I'm sure from Vegas standpoint, the whole entire process was interesting as well. They had split, the teams down the middle as far as, who was responsible to, speak with people and stuff like that. So George McPhee had 15 teams and Kelly McCrimmon had 15 teams. And so I dealt with Kelly, on a regular basis. And, again, there's still, I'm sure, a lot of things that we're going to be discussing, whether it's this afternoon or at the GM meetings or on the draft floor, that, are still somewhat draft fallout related, but they're going to slowly fall into just, you know, one of 31 here very quickly.
Could you be active though, Kevin, between now and pick 24?
Yeah, you know, again, it's really wide open. You know, it's a little bit of a slow time, I think, at the moment. For some GMs, you're trying to get a hold of somewhere at the awards banquet or the awards ceremony yesterday and are, you know, kind of on their way back. We have GM meetings at 4 o'clock here today. You know, throughout the night, you know, there's always, you know, some different possibilities. You know, there's some things that we looked at through some contractual restrictions, you know, we won't be able to do, not contractual restrictions on our side, but that's life. You know, you take your stabs and see if it does come into play, and if they're not realistic opportunities, as kind of I've indicated, we'll look at all realistic opportunities, then you move on.
Frank Cervelli in the TSN piece quoted a GM saying that he felt like he'd been held hostage during the whole situation with Vegas. Is that an overstatement?
Well, you know, again, I don't know that I ever want to make light of, you know, a situation like that. I've never, you know, felt it. You do, you know, again, when your outgoing and ingoing calls involve one phone number, you know, you're certainly waiting for that one phone number to ring. You know, it maybe reminds you of the days when you're, you know, trying to get, you know, go out on a date and you're just sitting there waiting for that phone to ring and staring at it, and no, it doesn't. But, you know, it was a different process. It was really, you know, again, the window of time. You know, it's such a deadline-driven league. You know, so, you know, when you have a traditional trade deadline, it's a deadline that everybody's working towards. You're all on the same time frame. You know, this process had several different deadlines, several of which were internally made by Vegas. And, you know, so it was, you know, an interesting dynamic to know that, you know, again, that they, you know, they could control it. And the irony of it all is that even in the end, the trades that were actually made, we never had trade calls until yesterday morning. So, you know, the deals that you're making are handshake deals. They're not registered. So, you know, even from, again, it goes back to what I said, like, you don't know what's going on with the rest of the league. And they know exactly what's going on with every single player on your team and every single team in the league. So, you know, there's probably not many secrets that they don't know about your organization. You know, and I'm sure they've probably filed a lot of those in the memory banks.
Last one for me. The other event that was going on last night was the Player Awards, and yeah. You had one player up as a nominee for the Calder. Did you talk to Patrick after last night? He doesn't win it, but nonetheless had a great season for you as a rookie.
Well, we are so, you know, so proud of Patrick. Obviously, part of the, you know, the all rookie team, and you know, I think he's the first to tell you that the individual awards are not, you know, really what's going to drive him. You know, there wasn't ever a time throughout the year last year that I got the sense, and again, I'm not in the dressing room every day, that, you know, that he was gunning to try to win the Calder. Like, I didn't ever feel like he would do things to jeopardize the team or anything like that, you know, so that he could win a personal award. So it's a feather in his cap to get there, to be nominated. And again, we're just, you know, so proud of him and thankful to have him as part of our group.
With what Toby did, sorry, Kevin.
Yeah.
What Toby did, does it, you know, you probably speak to his character and what he's meant to this organization here and down south. Are you more apt to, or have you considered an extension with him at this point, or a few sides are putting it off?
Yeah, I haven't really even contemplated that or thought about it. You know, when we signed this deal with Toby, you know, way back, you know, after the first season, you know, Don Baisley was his agent, and you know, we remember the conversations very vividly, both Toby and ourselves. You know, like, Toby wanted to commit to help this organization win. And, you know, when it all was said and done here, the no move was really never contemplated, you know, to be in a situation where it could be a detriment to the team. And, you know, again, I can't speak for Toby. I can't speak for his agent. But just through the conversations that I had with his agent, it really wasn't even a long decision process for Toby when he really understood, you know, what the ramifications of maybe having to lose a Lowry or a Perreault or a Armia or a Kopp or a Dano, you know, were going to be. And I think it's a testament to, you know, what unfortunately the general fans don't get to see, and even, you know, you guys reporting on us every day don't get to see, is that it is a tight group. There is a lot of belief, you know, in the general direction of the team. We haven't had the success that, you know, we, you know, obviously ultimately want. But there's a general belief that, you know, the group of people in there, you know, are the right people to do this and to move forward. And when you have veteran players, you know, doing selfless things like that, whether you wear a letter or you don't, you know, it's certainly something that should be noticed.